It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, if you're shopping for a Browns fan during the holiday season, shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop this holiday season. Visit the Team Shop at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. And we are pleased right now to bring you the round table, which is served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. This is the casual neighborhood joint from the same local team that brings you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico Steakhouse. And even though this is one of those everyday kind of places, you got incredible food. I mean, the quality off the charts, right? The service, that's going to blow you away. You want homemade soups. You want burgers. You want steaks. Seafood, my personal favorite, is the salmon on the plank is phenomenal, but everything there is the sushi shots, which we've had here. Those are always a home run. And George Schindler always taking good care of us here. So there's something for everyone on the menu. And
there's Vic, there's also a full bar.
And a full, but there is a bar there, too. Bar, yeah. Yes, glad to mention that. We didn't put that in the talking points. Full bar. I'm writing that in. Jim Donovan's favorite.
Surprisingly,
this season may drive you there a little too often.
Not as good for you as the salmon on the plank, but I mean, I'm ready to walk the plank. I feel like I've walked the plank the last couple of weeks.
Seriously. On that note, Jim, as we Nathan and I have been trying to kind of look at some specific reasons to find ways that the Browns can benefit from this matchup, what they can take away from this matchup. And we know the one good thing the Jets have going for them is that defense, and especially the run defense. Is that what you're most anxious to kind of see?
Yeah, I'm anxious to see the effort level for both teams. I kind of think I have a good read on what the effort level is going to be here, because it's been here all year long. I mean, right. I don't think we can ever say that the Browns took a Sunday off. Now, maybe the chins were a little bit down after the New England game, which you guys were just touching on, but still, I mean, the effort has never been in question, never at all, even through the preseason. They play hard. So that's a great, characteristic, one that should be rewarded more than it has been in the win column, but it's there. I wonder what the effort level will be on the other side with the Jets. They're 6-8. They were eliminated, out of the playoff picture the other night on that great Monday night game between the Ravens and Lions. So when that 61-yard field goal went through, they were mathematically out of it. It seems as though there's a theme there that they're really concerned that their coach is in limbo, and they don't want him to be in limbo. They all want him back. I mean, they really like playing for him. What is amazing to me is when you open up the book on them, they are so different than those teams that went to two consecutive AFC championship games. They have really changed. I mean, the names are different. It's amazing how much they have changed.
A lot of turnover, still a good run defense. Their pass defense, though, that used to be the best part when you had Revis and Cromartie, has kind of fallen by the wayside. That's where they've been vulnerable this year. What do you want to see out of the Cleveland Browns in this game? What's something that you hope to take away from this game against the Jets?
Well, I mean, it's a worn-out phrase, Nathan, but I'd love to see them finish a game. I mean, I really would. And I think that they, I think the longer they don't finish a game, the more Herculean task is in front of them to try and do it. They really have the yips at the end of games. I mean, they really do to go into the golf vocabulary.
Sure.
I mean, they are really struggling to do it. And I think as much as it can be physical, I think I think the physical part of it is overshadowed by the mental part of it. I think they have to get over this and they have to finish a game. So what I think I would like to see them do is build on leads. Mm-hmm. I thought going into the fourth quarter, specifically Sunday against the Bears, 7-point lead down to the 33-yard line of Chicago to begin the quarter. Obanaya rips off an 8-yard run. Laval holds. But still, I thought that, there was a point there where they probably should have stayed with the running game, if only to get a field goal try. And now a 10-point lead.
Two possessions.
Yeah, becomes a different thing for them. I would like to see them build on leads late in games and early in games when they have the possibility to do that. I think they had that in the first half. They had a chance to build on it, and they really didn't build on it. So I think sometimes there are pockets in the game, within the games, that are consistent that they do nothing with that
time in the game, and they don't build on the lead, where they don't pin another team in field position-wise, where they really cramp their style, and I think they let people off the hook.
So what we were talking about a little earlier, because we had played the cut from Jason Campbell, and you know what he had said regarding the fact that they were carrying that New England loss with them, and he thought it was a clear factor in what happened against Chicago. And again, great point Nathan makes about the way the game started. Certainly didn't give that indication.
No.
But you don't know at the end of it all how guys are affected. Okay, that said, Jim, does that help us solve a little of the mystery of these fourth quarter collapses? Is it maybe a mindset that's here, right? More so than, and I know we get into this dangerous territory of psychobabble, but do you wonder if maybe just the makeup of this team, these guys, maybe they're just not, this isn't mentally who you want here to be dealing with this. And I don't mean the whole, I'm not talking wholesale.
No, I do, Vic, think that there is I'm looking over my shoulder right now, and I'm wondering what is going to happen, because I feel like, and I have a lot of experience, that something is going to happen. And it might not be good. You know, there hasn't been enough good here, I think, that you can call upon, you know, like you guys touched on Tom Brady bringing the Patriots back. Well, there are a lot of examples of him bringing the Patriots back. He knows how to do it. Yeah,
sure.
The buildup to it. And they know how to do it. I don't think these guys know how to do it yet. What you worry about is that there's just been too much losing for some of these guys that, you know, they just don't know how to overcome this yet. When it happens here, it will be players rather than strategy, I think, that will finally curb this thing. I mean, I think it's going to be a player or two that are just going to step in and say, hey, listen, follow me. It's the old Cornbread Maxwell line before Game 7 of the Celtics-Lakers series, that one time when he went into the locker room with the great McHale, Parrish, Bird, all those guys, and said, hey, jump on my back. I'm going to carry you through this thing tonight. And he had a great game. I think it's going to take that. I don't think it's going to be Norv Turner, Ray Horton, Chud. I think they're all important. But I think it's going to be players that will pull them through.
Because players have to execute at the end of the day. It's your the scheme can be great, but the player must execute in the situation. And I would say that the schemes, by and large, have been successful this year. And at the end of the games, it has been, you know, a play or two that I'm sure a lot of players would like to have back that have cost the Cleveland Browns 3 weeks in a row, really.
Yes. But let me ask you this, Nathan, though. If you're going to win a game, you probably have to do what you do best. And it seems as though that defense is all predicated on pressure and getting pressure. And hasn't that been a little bit lacking late in these games?
Yeah. Of course. And that's one thing we said yesterday.
I mean, that's the thing.
You need to win. The guys need to win. If this offense, if this defense is built upon that, you made the investment in Paul Kruger, you make the investment in Barkevious Mingo, they need to be the ones who come up with the big sack in the fourth quarter that stops a drive and wins the game for
Because that's what you do best. I mean, they are not ready to run the clock out with their running game yet.
It doesn't exist here.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like they can do it passing-wise or anything like that yet. I mean, that may be coming.
Sure.
But I think the thing they do best is, or at least the calling card is, that they are a pressure, pass rush defense, get to the quarterback, hit him, hopefully sack him, but hit him and obstruct him. And I think late in the games, that's the area specifically where I think they've been lacking.
This is the Roundtable, and it is served by Rosewood Grill in Strongsville and Hudson. Again, check out the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. To that point of pass rush and the need to see it happen, and this to me, again, finding reasons or reasons to be interested in this game and how telling it would be, this is one of the worst passing teams in the league. This is the game that trend has got to end, where they can't be making big plays on you at the end. This can't be a Jacksonville repeat of a team coming down the field on you, right? Chad Henne leading you on an 80-yard drive. It can't be Geno Smith doing this, and it can't be this passing game having that success.
And you're right, and you looked at the game going into the Jacksonville one. You said, well, they're going to be able to get to the quarterback against Jacksonville. At the time, they were top three in the league in sacks given up. This week, the Jets have given up 47, second most in the NFL. You got to feel like they can get to the quarterback. And we were talking, you know, there's a possibility that Joe Hayden won't be out there. So it's going to be even more important to get to the quarterback so that you're not leaving Leon McFadden out there on an island for that long.
Right.
As we're down now, when you started the season, the top three corners were Hayden, Buster Skrine, and Chris Owens. We know Chris Owens no longer even with the team.
Right.
He was signed by the Miami Dolphins off of the injured reserve waivers this week. So now you're down to your fourth and fifth corners playing meaningful roles, and your third corner is now actually your number one corner, or you could debate your number two corner is your number one corner if Hayden's out. They can run the ball. Chris Ivory can run the ball for the Jets. This pass defense needs to hold up on the back end to be able, and the pass rush needs to help them if the Browns want to win in New York.
Oh, yeah. And you have a kid that, you know, he's throwing the ball to you. I mean,
yes.
You know, he's got 21 picks, and, you know, he's not schooled yet. You know, he's been force-fed, I think, in there. I think we'd all agree that maybe wasn't their plan way, way back when they made the move. Maybe it was, but it didn't seem to be the right move. But he's in there, and they're living and they're dying a little bit with him, and they're turning the ball over, and he's usually the one that's doing it. So that should be there, too, a little bit of pass rush there, and I think it forces him to put the ball up in a 50-50 spot.
And that's what troubled me a little bit about last week was we were asking for the defense to make some plays, and they scored 14 points themselves.
Right.
And that wasn't enough for the Cleveland Browns beat the Bears, whose defense had been dreadful this season.
Well, Vic will remember this. Nathan, there was a game a couple of years ago where Colt McCoy and the Browns went down to Jacksonville. They got 6 or 7 turnovers in the game, and the game got away right at the end.
And still let it get away from them. Yeah, that's the maddening thing, and unfortunately for – I asked T.J. Ward about this, too. I said, T.J., you know, he was on the Browns preview show. You know, you get a scoop score. Deshaun Gibson gets a pick six. You win games like that.
Right.
And he looked at me, and he had to be thinking about what you said. He said, well, actually, I've been in those kind of games before where we've done that and still lost.
It
can't be. You know, it really can't be. We can cite that it's the crazy things that happened to this Browns team, but that's the problem. That type of stuff, I know it happens. I know crazy stuff happens all the time, and it seems to happen a lot to this club, but that craziness is, I think, reflective of, again, a deeper problem. You've got to eliminate that in putting this squad together and taking, you know, more steps. And I think in the careful selection of the people that you bring aboard and whatever it is, the mindset, I don't know. You know, I'm confident of this, that Rob Chudzinski, Norv Turner, Ray Horton, and the rest of that coaching staff are delivering the right things, the right messages.
Yeah, I would agree with
right?
you. Yeah,
you
know,
I don't think there's a disconnect or a problem there. I think the problem, again, may exist in not having enough of the guys who overcome those things or just don't get you in those holes.
Yeah, I really do, Vic. I believe this because we've had a lot of time and a lot of years to think about it. I really believe it's going to come down to getting the right players here that are just going to take the team by the hand and take these guys that are physically talented but a little bit wounded mentally by all of this losing and take them out of this. That's what I think it's going to be.
Right.
I agree with you. I think the schemes are fine. I don't know if that, you know, if the balance is right. People talk about run versus pass, but if you're not built right now to run, just to say that you tried it, you know, I don't know if it's effective all the time. I mean, if you just keep banging into a wall sometimes, maybe you stop banging into the wall at some point.
Definition of insanity.
Yeah, I just think at some point there'll be some kind of player and plural players that will get them out of the funk here. But, you know, it's going to take players. The scheme is fine.
I agree with you. And players, we've talked about it, and it's something that's going to come in the offseason. A team with as much money under the cap as anybody, 7 draft picks in the first 4 rounds. There will be new players here, and hopefully some of them can come in and say, let us help you win some football games and change the culture around here, because I think it will be a quick change. Once it happens and you get the taste of it and the confidence of it and do it again, it can snowball quickly, and I'll keep going back. You know, you look at the Chiefs from last year to this year. You look at Carolina from losing a bunch of close games to figuring out how to win and ripping off 8 in a row and 9-10. It can happen in this league.
Well, and the other thing is, Nathan, I mean, the thing that will help that happen is that a lot of them have played a lot now. I mean, these guys haven't been waiting to play. I mean, they're actually out there. I mean, finally McFadden. I mean, he's out there.
I think it's good that he's getting this experience.
We were just saying that. Yeah. I think it's a great thing that he's out there.
Sure.
And out there against this passing attack, too, because it's in all likelihood, he should survive it.
That's
should.
What I mean.
Even without Joe Hayden.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's going to cash in on this. Yeah. I mean, Mingo has played a lot. I mean, Gordon now is off the charts. He's played a lot. So, I mean, a lot of guys have played a lot. So, I think at that point, I think that was the benefit in guys like Hughes and Wynn playing as much as they did last year. You can notice a difference. So, once they get that special thing, you know, that special kind of player here, but you got to get him.
Let's get him.
You got to get him.
Let's
get
him, Jim.
You know,
right.
Bring May earlier.
That's right.
Yeah, we'd mind that. All right, it is the roundtable. And, Jim, thank you so much for lending that. Great tie, by the way.
Thank you.
Probably should have taken a picture of that and put it on the Let's do that. Megan Rock's going to take a picture of Jim in his tie, and we're going to put that on the Browns_daily Twitter.
I would like to say it's handmade, but it wasn't.
It looks like it could
have been.
Just say it is.
Somebody made it.
Just say it is. Somebody
made
it. Hands were involved somewhere along the line. By the way, brought to you by Rosewood Grill, which, again, in Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details, rosewoodgrill.com. We've got much more coming up. We're going to get a Jets perspective from Randy Lang, the editor-in-chief of NewYorkJets.com. Great insights from Randy, a veteran covering that football team. That is coming up. Gerard Cherry in the second hour. We will have an Inside the Locker Room for you. A little surprise, but we saw Jameer Howerton heading back to his station with his recorder in hand, and Jameer gave me that thumbs up as he walked past the dog bowl here and said, I've got something for you. So we'll find out what that is. It's always a nice little surprise. Locker room, by the way, just for the record, locker room time with the media was a little later today, which is why we don't have that in advance. All right, stick around. Much more. CBD, Vic, Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR.